One Man Revolution, Volume 2, Episode 36. Hey, it's me, the Revolutionary. I'm back in the party room here at the Regal Cinema down here in Winter Park Village. And I'm waiting for the folks to come out from the Inconvenient Truth preview to get some final reactions, some reactions from the folks, and to kind of focus in on the environment and focus in on the things that we've discussed before. So I'm going to take a pause here and wait for folks to get in here. And we'll have some reactions from hopefully a pretty good cross-section of the individuals that came out. As you know, the movie is, I've done a podcast on this before, and I've done a, hey, hello, how are you?
I was so impressed with him.
Oh, he is. He's a very impressive guy, isn't he?
And I hope that he
should get it. Oh, well, he already won once. All he has to do is get the recount done the proper way. Yes, we did. Yeah. It's amazing to me to see the number of people that came out just to this preview. I've seen movies as previews over the course of the past 5 years, and for this to be this type of information, but yet still draw several hundred people just to come see it, it's very much an interesting concept. It's currently open nationally. It opens in Florida tomorrow, and hopefully we'll see some good numbers. It's already had good numbers in the select cities that it's been released in so far. Absolutely.
It was so important because when you look at the way the water could come almost cover, obliterate Florida.
Yes, all the people that want to move inland instead of staying by the coast. If the hurricanes don't get them, it's going to be the rising water levels, which is unfortunate. Oh, Josh. Yeah. Don't be shy. You guys can come in and sit down. You don't have to stay on the periphery. You know, we're going to try and get a good group of people in here before it's all said and done.
There's a lot of people waiting outside.
Oh, we'll throw Josh. Well, Josh just went out there, so we'll hopefully have him pull him in here.
I love
this room. Yeah, the decor is kind of us underwater, which I think is a good theme for the evening. Absolutely. Welcome. Come on in. We'll have a chat. Yeah. Well, we figured we'd bake you inside the theater and then bring you in here to tell you what the other side of this equation could be, which could be unfortunate. Yeah. 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 Squeeze in. I'm taking up a whole bench over here, so. No, we should have plenty of benches, Noel. I think there's some folks that want to stand right now because they've been sitting for an hour and a half. Oh. Amazing what little stuff you can bring and still get a full studio. Yeah, having one of those days. Okay, good. We're still live. Yeah, so... if you go to the Climate Crisis website, you'll find a couple of pretty interesting pamphlets that are on there that they leave for folks to download. And I printed a couple of them out, you know, on a couple of trees to help impact the global warming. So, but there's a list of the 10 things that people can do, which are actually run during the credits, and there's also a list of
how to promote this film as individuals. And I think that that's something that, you know, that this, if people who see this film are going to have a hard, it's going to be a very hard sell, first of all, to get them in the seat. But once you get them in the seat, you'll end up with, we have a lot of looky-loos. Once you get them in the seat, I think that you'll have an impact on them. You know, as I was driving over here today, yeah, you'll all see me tomorrow. See you guys tomorrow. As I was driving over here in my car, which suffice it to say is not a gas guzzler by any breach of the imagination, but while I was driving over, a threshold event occurred. Over the course of the past couple of years, I guess, rust had built up on one of the exhaust pipes going out of my car, and suddenly on the way over tonight, it broke free. And so now my car sounds like something out of a 50s sock hop movie, and I'm going to go fix it tomorrow. But the point is it was a threshold event, just like the event that it's showing that would happen with Greenland, the threshold event that would happen with the areas of Antarctica. And so it becomes a very to me kind of, it drove it home, and it made, while I was driving over, yeah, there's no mass transit. That's a very that's a very good point. Mass transit is expensive on a political scale, on a daily level for you and I to do. So what is the alternative then to that? Well, moving into the area at which my job is. Well, how many folks move jobs? I know that I move them rather frequently, probably because of my views. But there are folks in here that I've worked with in the past, in the present, and probably in the future, that, you know, have seen, you know, kind of what force of nature I can become when I'm within something when I don't like it. And it's kind of a, so for me to try and put all of my banking in the fact that I'm going to move to one central location, let's say downtown, and work in the same location downtown and walk to work, isn't feasible. But let's see, what's that? Scooters. There you go. I mean, other things we can do to provide transportation for those of us. I mean, we are in a sprawl area. Orlando is not exactly your most efficient place to live when it comes to transportation.
It'd be nice if there would be some advertising about where you could buy.
Yeah. Right. That's right. And E85 has been touted in the past couple of months as a solution. And there's people on both sides. I mean, we throw away more soybeans, corn, and wheat then we know what to do with in this country. Right. And
it grows and produces fruit and produces alcohol.
That's right. And many of us realize that every night when we get home. I don't drink because I want to, I drink to forget. Look at the administration. Yeah. What's that?
A different engine. My nephew just invented an engine that runs on magnets. It was submitted to MIT. And his high school got a grant in his name for his invention. And they've asked him to make a few changes to it, but he's going to patent it. Mm-hmm. But it's a different, this doesn't have to be based on anything but magnets.
Stuff like that had come out years ago and was buried because it didn't make rich people richer in the oil industry. Mm-hmm. So now that that's capping out, they're saying, oh, we need a new source. When there's been sources over the decades that haven't been developed for the very reason that it wasn't mined someone's
time. He'll be getting an offer in the mail from major companies with large amounts of money to shut him up.
And then it becomes a moral issue. You know, how much is too much? I know that that's the million-dollar question is, if I offered you $1 million to kill your best friend, would you do it? Now, biodiesel, and that's what's being produced by, oddly enough, biodiesel, which is produced by Willie Nelson, you know, and he would like to convert it to hemp oil, but that's another show altogether. And the oil shortage, and then into the 80s where everyone put everything on credit cards. Okay. Well, right. But the point was, is that it was, he had, you know, he had a different idea than the rest of his neighbors. I know that, well, I know that, that wood is not an alternative because we're kind of running out of trees. And then we, yeah. Yeah, use the time.
Did you see the paper a month ago, Orlando Sentinel, front page, about the 15,000 acres were going to be growing in bamboo in Orange County? Did you see it? Mm-hmm. Zero carbon emissions. So we're going to be growing 15,000 acres of bamboo and using it for producing energy here mm-hmm. in Orange County. That's great.
It is.
Orlando endorsed Kyoto?
Excuse me?
Has Orlando endorsed Kyoto?
We're not on the list yet. We're kind of, I mean, well, Key West, yeah, I know. Well, Florida's a problem. I mean, we basically have to get around someone's brother.
Oceanographers, it was a meeting of all kinds of different, it's interdisciplinary, and the general consensus at that conference was, we can tout Kyoto, you know, we can say we should have signed on, but the overarching theme of the conference was Kyoto is definitely not enough. And that what we need now is wild thinking. And we can say, man, we should have signed on Kyoto, but it's the steps we need to take go far beyond Kyoto to any kind of dent in what we've already done in the last decade or the last century. So that's just, I think the conservative movement, and I've also written papers on this, it is a concerted effort of the conservative movement to downplay and to cast doubt into the science behind global warming. They'll say that, you know, they'll herald Kyoto, and they'll even say, you know, it's we're all falling behind the Kyoto Protocol, and even if we'd signed on, it wouldn't have helped. That's true. They're right about that. But that just signals that, hey, we really need to do something more. And I think this movie sort of highlights that. It kind of touts Kyoto. I wish he would have gone to and said that same thing, but Kyoto is definitely not enough.
It's a starting point.
It's a starting point, and I think hybrid cars are a starting point. But
well,
it's
maybe
the same
not
token.
Even just a starting point, just yeah. also a parallel point mm-hmm. with other
it's,
things.
It's a starting point. It's an evolution, if you will. And I want to say something about hybrid cars is that part of the problem with even hybrid cars is if everyone had a hybrid car, would we drive any less? No, we'd probably drive more. So we need to get off the gasoline addiction. And I think, I know I hate to use this stupid catchphrase at the time, but there is an addiction to gasoline. And I think some of the alternatives are promising. Some of them I'm a little bit worried about because when we talk about hydrogen fuel cell, where are you getting the hydrogen? If it happens to come from coal, then what the hell's the point? We still have coal factories, coal, we're still open pit mining. I mean, we need to, you know, take a step back and say, what are we doing? And I think, we're starting to do that. I think the people here are starting to do that, and I think Al Gore and by showing these movies is starting to do that. But it requires wild thinking, and I think that's what we need to realize.
And why is it so wild?
Because we're not used to it. because we get so stuck in our habit of doing things a certain way, and we can't see the forest for the trees. I think, you know, and plus you have the media, whose job is supposed to be fair and balanced. So they treat an issue such as global warming, they want to be fair and balanced about it. So what they do is they get this perception that there's a debate among the climate scientists and in the scientific community when in fact there isn't. And that paper that he actually cited, I have a copy of, and which has 920 different articles. So what they do is they, in their goal in this, you know, it's a rather, you know, noble effort to be fair and balanced, but they're completely distorting reality. Sometimes it's black and white, sometimes it's gray, sometimes there's right, sometimes there's wrong. This is an issue where, okay, the truth is we're screwing this up. There isn't any debate about it, but I think the majority of Americans don't see that.
I would agree with you.
But we have areas of optimism because as much as we may dislike cable and poo-poo it, very many people in this country are not from this country. Mm-hmm. Many have roots globally, mm-hmm. and so they patrol the globe. So they have global thinking in place, and that's very good. We have the internet, and the level of frustration and discontent in our country in all areas right now is quite high. Mm-hmm. So critical mass is very important. And the timing of this movie, I think, is excellent because of the level of discontent in the whole country.
I think
also we can be optimistic because a majority of the youngest people that are articulate and also schooled and inspiring their peers who may or may not be schooled are very internet savvy, are very communication savvy. So when I hear people like you, who are relatively young but also relatively old in terms of the generations that will be impacted and can make a difference, I think as long as you can command some of their frustration and make some trailblazing so people know how to participate, even in small ways, then the creativity kicks in. And everybody keeps saying, well, it's such a creative country. But it's only creative if the communication links happen. And we can't afford to say, oh, we're doing a bad job if we have cable. We are doing a bad job. Only if we shut down, you know, our communication systems are we doing a bad job.
I think what you said is absolutely true. And I think what's necessary is that we don't let our optimism that, you know, there is this sense that we can do something, we can be creative, turn into complacency, because I think there's always that fine line where some people are going to say, man, we're really doing something, so that means I don't have to do as much. And I don't want that to happen. And that's my biggest fear, is that a lot of people pushing on a noble effort are going to think there's a free rider problem. And I'm afraid the free rider problem will happen. I don't think it will, but that's one of my fears in the back of my head.
One of the main points of the movie, what they were trying to convey also, is that it's not necessarily a political issue for future generations. It should be a moral issue.
Absolutely.
So that way, the generations after us, the younger ones, will feel more inclined and actually dedicated to fixing it, not just something that you debate in the newspaper.
But I mean, do you have global sensibilities? I mean, do you feel...
Well, it's very difficult to think globally when you're one person, but yes, you know.
But that's the point. That's what I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And if we instill into other generations, people younger and us, that it's a moral imperative that they have to
right.
do this.
So you
instead
do
of
one
just
little
like a political thing,
you know, in your own life, and then you share that you're doing that.
Right. Everyone's waiting for their neighbors. Oh, I can't do something on my own. We'll let them take care of it. But it's like you said, it's a critical mass situation. Each individual taking one little step, recycling, energy efficient light bulbs, whatever you could do, it all is going to add up. It's like a penny in the bucket. Every penny is going to add up. You might not be able to solve the problem by yourself, but each little thing that you do, instead of waiting for your neighbors to do it, or waiting for the government to do it, or waiting for officials or someone else, there's little things each person could do just by taking a stand and either protesting a certain gas company. Yeah, it might not put them out of business, but it's something that you could do, and if a lot of people do it, they'll feel the pinch somewhere, you know?
I think,
not that that's my idea.
One thing
is each person can do something.
You said don't wait for the government, but that's historically, that is the best way to go.
Actually, historically.
Yeah, to encourage the government.
Actually, historically,
in the voting booth, you know, we could make the biggest changes.
Right.
So if everyone in the room just stabs a Republican.
Well, but it's
Not
just a Republican. Well, it's not just a Republican issue.
Pushing cafe standards to raise them for 20 years.
Yeah.
Gore was instrumental for 25 years in trying to push them up. If we get them to 45, that makes a humongous amount of difference.
I mean, we have to stab the Republicans and implant a backbone in the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not just.
It's not a, but see, it's not a governmental issue, and I'll let Josh make his comment first.
That's my comment. Every national change or society change throughout history have all started as grassroots movements, whether it was civil rights, slavery, economic change, you name it. They really do all start as grassroots movement. So what we have to understand as a society, as a nation, as a globe, that we actually control what the government does more than the government controls what we do. And that's actually the biggest crutch and the problem with the United States is because we look to the government. We look to the government for Katrina, we look to the government for everything. We become a nation reliant on that. And we've forgotten our history that it all started out as grassroots.
Okay, but as long as the Republicans are in, there is no freedom for us to do that anymore because they're doing everything they can to take that away from us and make it that they're all powerful, and slowly we find ourselves without any power to do anything.
Well, but that's also what blacks thought before World War II. until the black soldiers went to World War II, fought alongside white soldiers, and saw, hey, we're the same as they are. Then they came back home, passed on the message, and you get enough people, then you get the Republicans out of office.
That's it. But look what happened here in Florida. You know darn well that Al Gore won. We all know that he won. And that was bullshit.
That's why this is a subscription thing. That way we don't actually have to follow FCC rules.
So. The Orlando Weekly has a great big article this week about the inconvenient truth. Mm-hmm. They wrote about it, and they also have a story talking about right-wing Republican thinking affecting politics and becoming more and more a part of the political agenda, and how even some Republicans are upset about that, you know, that they're, there's a rift, so to speak.
Do something that you feel that you can do. Take whatever it is that you're going to do for the environment and do it with rebellion against those that you don't like. It's like, okay, well, I'll show what I'm going to do.
Do it anyway, whether you're Republican or Democrat.
And you were talking about being radical in what you want to create, thinking outside the box kind of thing. So many of us are in that box. We're expecting everything to be poured into us, okay? And if y'all live in the city, everything's right here, why worry about it? But if you're in a situation where you're out there in the outlying areas, for instance, I mean, you get creative. You put yourself into that situation, and you make things happen. And if everybody just starts thinking, even around your house, you'll find something that's going to save some energy. You know, don't run your pool pump quite so much.
Well,
just a little stuff.
Panama for the summer last year, and I was talking to a guy from Texas, and I thought, okay, this could be bad. I think he was a Republican who had a lot of money, but he was actually pretty intelligent, and he said that he lives in Austin, and that he thinks the number of Hummers per capita in Austin has to be the greatest. And we were talking about, here in Panama, when we were sitting there talking, people need SUVs because you have to get around on mountainous roads. But it's like you're driving down the interstate in Florida, and you see I saw it had to be an 80 or 90 year old guy driving a bright yellow Hummer. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell?
Yeah, my other car is a jet engine.
Yeah. So I think there's a question we have, a lot of Americans, I'm preaching to the choir here maybe, but a lot of Americans need to ask themselves, is there's a difference between what we want and what we need. And you can have both in most cases, but when you live in a flat, why do you need a 12 mile per gallon Hummer?
Four wheel drive.
Yeah. Drive on Florida.
Well, I gotta pull them stumps.
Unless you're in Mount Dora,
it's just this generation. Everything is made easy. Today, you can have a TV show and you can DVR. You can catch it on your own time. We're just pretty much handed down everything so easily. Around the corner, we've got food. Every little corner, we've got another store. You got a Publix in every street. You got 7-Eleven across from here. You got a CVS across from Walgreens. It's just so accessible that we're just getting lazy to it.
Yeah. If I can be anecdotal, this past weekend I was getting a sandwich in a local shop, and I heard a guy conversing with a lady, and he obviously had a lot of money, and he's talking about how spoiled his daughter is. She was like 15, and she was begging him for an $80,000 Lincoln Navigator, a Cadillac Escalade, like the best one he could get with the bells and whistles. And that she also wanted him to somehow buy her and bring down from up north an iceberg.
Oh.
Like, she was serious. and I'm not, like, telling a joke. I swear to God, this is what the guy said. He said, do you know what kind of permits I would have to get to bring that down here? And he was considering getting her an iceberg.
And why does he need that four-wheel drive to get in here?
Yeah, I'm thinking, we live in a country where people are honestly contemplating doing that sort of thing, like buying an iceberg and shipping it down for the hell of it. What are you going to do with an iceberg?
Well, I think, I look at things kind of mechanical. I've been here like 15 years in Florida. I've seen one house with double pane windows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not yeah. that. I mean, why are, don't we have double pane windows down here in Florida? Why is all this air conditioning coming out of our windows? In 1975, there was a story called the Arizona story, and they did some prototype houses with some creativity and using convection in the walls and in the roofing. Basically, it was double roofs, double walls. They were heating these houses in the middle of Arizona for $110 a year based on those prices. Why aren't they doing that? You see all over Orlando construction, 2x4 walls, drywall on the inside, siding on the outside. That's it. You know, why aren't we progressing in the way we construct our houses to be more energy efficient?
In a word, old thinking. New technology. No, utilizing the old technology because the cost, because we're still using the old technology,
yes.
is lower.
Yeah. But no, okay. If yeah. you can't, if sure, it's too expensive to put double pane or triple pane windows in your house. But you can always put storm windows on there. Mm-hmm. You know.
But if you look at the old technology and everybody was using the new technology, it wouldn't be as expensive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, another reason for that also is because people are unaware that it's even an option.
Well, the one guy that I saw that had the double pane windows, he was from Michigan.
Yeah.
He moved down here and he had his house built with all, and he got fired. Well, why would you want that? You know, because, you know, everything's escaping from my house, you know?
Yeah, and because people don't look at cooling the same way they look at heating.
Heating, right.
Right. And, I mean, when you're talking about this as global warming, people are saying, well, I won't have to heat my house as much in the wintertime anymore.
But they're air conditioning the outside.
Well, but that's the way people are. I mean, a lot of these short-sighted people, and this is what happens a lot of the times. The short-term gain is more valuable than the overall cost to a lot of people.
That's right.
I mean, and people don't see that hidden cost.
It's not that much more to put double panes in.
No, and it's much more efficient, and it costs a lot less long-term.
Trying to pick A, B, and C, and that's it. They don't have another option. They don't pick it. They pay with it.
Well, I mean, try buying double pane windows at Home Depot.
Hardwood floors are more durable. They're more cost efficient. They last longer, and hardly anyone is doing it.
Right.
But I remember again in the Orlando Weekly, they did a whole story on going green, where someone here in College Park renovated their whole house going green, and he wrote everything he did, and the bamboo wood floors,
they're beautiful.
They sounded beautiful. Mm-hmm.
They are.
But you don't hear, I never heard about it again.
Mm-hmm. Even my house go.
Yeah, okay. That's, I mean, my house has.
But it's being shipped, but that bamboo flooring is being shipped in from China. And so we're purchasing from overseas stuff that we can grow right here, but that's okay. Well, I mean, this is a start. And here's one of the things I always like to ask when I have a group of people. How many people have called, even if it's your Republican senator, how many people have called Washington in the past 30 days?
Oh, 30 days?
Very good. Okay, 60 days. Okay, there you go. Year? Okay. Yeah, one topic. Well, if this is a democratic process and we really want to be democratic, we need to take more ownership of the jerks that are up there, even if they don't follow our party line, because they'll follow our party line if enough people call, they'll take the barometer and they'll go, you know what, we better do that because these 10,000 constituents of mine decided to call me up. Which one?
The one. On
ClimateCrisis.net. Yeah, ClimateCrisis.net.
The
buttons.
The buttons. Is it on the shirt?
The buttons next to you.
Ah, the buttons. I have buttons right here. Oh, yeah, here we go. Everybody can get buttons.
There should be enough for everybody.
There should be plenty here. Yeah, so, ooh, and they're sharp. Well, I think that there are a lot of, again, you know, we innovated before with, Ford innovated with the assembly line, you know, creating cheap labor, but yet speeding up the production. And I think that we could most definitely continue that along with this process. You know, we can revolutionize our daily lives by just changing the way we think. You know, do I really need to drive over to Daytona Beach to go antiquing?
More.
You know?
Do it. I need to drive to the convenience store that's 2 blocks away.
Right. And that's another thing. It's so convenient that I need to take my Hummer to get a bottled water from a glacial bottle of water, yeah, from Iceland, yeah, yeah. And you know, right now the world is the world is looking. The world is.
So when it melts, was Orlando still on the floor?
You know, the funniest part is that we're probably the safest people in the state of Florida when it comes to the to the water coming up.
I was just like, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard that for the past 13 years. I moved down here.
Yeah.
One of these days, Orlando's going to be beachfront property.
Thank God.
Yeah. Every day. I'm going to be more and more.
And I was an undergrad. He said he was an environmental law professor. He said, buy property in Sanford and 50 to 100 years to be worth it.
So
what if it melts more than that?
Then we have minor problems. Yeah, then you have to move to Missouri. Well, or I guess that, well, since what are the conservative calling that? It's not evolution. What are they calling it? It's the other one.
Creative design.
It's something intelligent design. We're gonna have to intelligently design ourselves some gills. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Because unfortunately, we're not going to have the ability to. We're all gonna look like they did in Katrina last year. We're gonna be walking knees and chest deep. Around here.
Those milk cartons, by the way, make real nice flotation devices.
Yes, they do. In case of emergency, your milk cartons that you're heating your house with will work as a flotation device. That's a good one. I think that we should make T-shirts on that. That'd be kind of cool.
I heard that there was an old Indian saying that the Indians used to live where they would think, is what I'm doing now, how is this going to affect 7 generations from now? Mm-hmm. We don't even think about what we are doing right now, how's that going to affect me in 10 years, let alone 7 generations from now. We've gotten so far away, we were never even there.
But. Yeah. Well, the Europeans brought technology to the United States, and of course those savages had nothing to offer us at all, especially the ones that are in Oklahoma, where the tornadoes come through and destroy the same group of houses every single year. And the Army Corps of Engineers comes back and rebuilds those houses every single year. So it is important to see that. At least some people are showing some interest, even if it's just a small group, we all have friends. And one of the things, and these are the things that you can get on the website. There's a couple of PDFs that you can just print out, and they have the 10 things to do. How to get people to see this movie. And I encourage you to try and get your most conservative friends just to look at it. Just bring them along.
Schools and high schools and junior high schools. I think that's very important.
Because evolution is a theory.
Because evolution is a theory, absolutely. And they're training for the FCAT. What does this relate to the FCAT?
This is more important than the FCAT. Because if we don't have a future, the FCAT is
so one person
useless.
Makes an impact. One person impacted Gore. Mm-hmm. And now Gore was impacted by one teacher in one classroom teaching the same class over and over. Well, now Gore has taken this message to over 1,000 classrooms, so hopefully he'll impact more than one person, to carry the ball. It might take 5 years.
As of a couple of weeks ago, there's millions of classrooms.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was so impressed with him. I thought he's the most wonderful speaker I have heard in a long, long time. And he was so, every word you could hear, he was wonderful.
Yeah, he should have worked.
He did win. Yeah.
I mean, what I would have liked to see
him was
for him to look right at the camera and point like he was talking to you individually and say, start doing something.
Yeah.
Instead of making it a plea to make it do it.
That's right.
What makes him well is it just he's so passionate about what he wants and what he needs to do for everything. So that's what makes him genuine.
I think he squandered a really good opportunity.
Well, it takes great tragedy in your life to change, and he also pointed that out, that great tragedy is one of the things that changes.
In trying to get this shown for other people, what do we go about doing? How do we tell them that this film is available?
Right. It'll be released. Yeah.
It starts here tomorrow, and we're the only theater in Orlando that's going to have it as of right now.
Yeah. Noel is the marketing director here, I think, is his title. Yeah, public school. Then.
But if they still enroll for it, they said it's a must-see movie.
We're a cinema art theater, so we usually get stuff tested out here first.
Yeah. Is there enough to go around for?
It's going to be on one screen, and we're going to have it in a big one. Where, how long it stays, and where it is going to be dependent on the crowds that come.
Money is the driving force, and I would say that but enough people show up here, it might get.
There have been a lot of phone calls about it, and a lot of pre-sales. Like for a small movie like that, it's pretty unheard of.
So is there a phone number that we can go ahead and give our school representatives
to let them know that this is available. The phone number of the movie theater if you'd like. There's business cards up at the front. Tell them to come and see it.
Make the class.
You can even contact corporate and rent out a theater and hold a presentation, the whole nine, if people actually want to.
Okay, can I have those numbers?
I'll get that information for you.
Okay.
And we'll put it on, and I'll put it on the site and make sure that everyone has access to it too.
In the Winter Park Outdoor Theater too.
You're welcome. Thank you, guys.
That gets the people, the thinking people.
Yeah.
Really,
the people with money away. Anyway.
Yeah.
I like to think of myself as a thinking person, but the engine
is
not pricey. So
yeah. Well, and you know, send emails to your friends. You know, take advantage of group ticket sales.
Tell a lot of people.
You know, if you subscribe to a blog that is, you know, is a particular group that you're part of. You know, even you know, you're if you're like a Parrothead. And you subscribe to a blog that deals with Jimmy Buffett fans, throw it on there, say, just go see it. It impacted my life, you know, and just tell people.
In the movie that really impressed me, if you talk about global warming and the sun's rays and everything, yeah, most people know that when it shows on ice and snow, that 90% of it bounces off. Mm-hmm. If you're ever snow blinded, you'll know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the part about the water warming and melting it really drives it home, because if you look at a piece of ice floating, 90% of that is underwater, and that's what's going to melt first.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really grabs it.
Yeah, and it really punches it home. And I think that's what I like about this presentation yet again, is that it keeps giving you things, facts. And a lot of people today are saying, well, facts are open for interpretation, but in the pure scientific world, they are not, but it keeps giving you information, and the information is the most important part. You know, and if you can just get, you know, two of your friends, four of your friends, five of your friends to come here to the theater and see it, and watch it with them, you know, and you'll probably see this is my second time seeing it, and I picked up things this time that again made me cry.
I feel sorry for the polar bears.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you swim 60 miles to find something to stand on.
And then
the Violet Planet, it's on PBS.
Yeah.
And the one in the Violet Planet series was called Mary of Extinction, which talks about the same thing.
Yeah.
And they were a little bit more grim, even, mm-hmm. because they said if things don't change dramatically, radically, soon, we only have 20 to 30 years before everything's extinct.
Well, and then you got to also realize that, you know, fish, everything that's in the ocean, I mean, there's only a certain temperature range that mm-hmm. we're going to be able to tolerate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have dead fish all over the world.
And that's the food chain that you're talking about, the food chain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're gone, we're gone.
But you see, as long as you have a president like Bush and his followers, you're going to have the thought of the only thing that's important are the haves and the have-mores.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not important.
The good thing about that, though, is there's a lot more have-nots than there are have-mores. Right. So
but the have-mores control the...
You have to find an effective way to rally them.
Yeah.
I watched the movie a few weeks ago, V for Vendetta.
Yes.
They said, the government should fear the people... Not the people
in the government. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, I thank everyone for taking part. You can take both of them. Okay. Very good. And, if you could, if everybody out there would just kind of visit and maybe spread the word about One Man Revolution. I just got signed a deal with the New York Times, and they are sponsoring my show at... which is something unheard of by, then they approached me on it, which I didn't have to get out of my house, which was kind of nice. And they are, you know, they want, they basically, all they're looking for is for people that have an opinion and would like to get it out there. And that's kind of, I guess, why they tap me. And if you just go to onemanrevolution.org, you'll get updates on all kinds of events, not just political ones, but we also have other, you know, like Superman.
Out of how many states are you in?
I'm.
But you look pretty surprised at my big mouth that I'm from New York.
Well, I'm global. I've been doing this for 18 months, doing the podcast for 18 months, and I've been dealing with the internet since 1992. So when it comes down to those type of issues, I've always been a citizen of the world, and I see the way that if I can communicate to someone next to me, I can just as easily communicate to someone across the world utilizing one little piece of technology that's sitting there. So if you have if you haven't heard about it, there's also some legislation that's passing around Congress to try and limit the freedom that we have to speak on the internet. There's as far as what you can put over the wires on the internet. They're listening to our phone calls on the other side of that.
Oh, well,
they're watching us at red lights with cameras. So I mean, it's a very oppressive thing to be a part of right now in the U.S. And it's not where I wanted to live when I was that little kid growing up outside of Philadelphia. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So, everyone, I really appreciate that, and definitely thank you for coming out.
No problem. Use your email on your website.
Yes, of
course. I'll just email you.
Yes.
I got
cool.
Publishing articles and stuff.
Excellent.
Be interested in them on
yeah.
conservative
Absolutely.
Ties to junk science. So
it's always a good time.
Yeah.
Tell
so
you.
I'll try to get you copies when they're done.
Cool. Excellent. Well, thank you.
Whatever.
Yeah, thank you for coming out, honestly. Thank you. And thank you. You had a lot of good input. I appreciate that.
They sure turned out that was a Ruby D event.
Yes.
Cool.
No, I don't have any work. But I'd like to.
Oh, no.
I got nothing. I didn't even get one.
Get
the word out.
Which are probably the most important organizations.
All right, so that'll do it for this episode of the One Man Revolution. If you'd like to contact the Revolutionary, write me at onemanrevolution@gmail.com. And please visit the website onemanrevolution.org for future updates and information about different protests and different things and events in the area of politics, the environment, and, of course, the finer things in life. So until next time, this is the One Man saying... it only takes one person to stand up and say that something is wrong to start a revolution. Until next time, see ya!